The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Billy Donovan is out as the head coach of the Thunder, and the Bucks are out of the playoffs. But we start where the NBA ended last night, and that is with LeBron James and Anthony Davis in a big fourth quarter for the Lakers. Beating the Rockets in what was a tight game until the end. What did you see from the Lake Show last night?
I saw that two best players need to get 60 points, like I've said since these playoffs started when they was playing against Portland. And when that happens, since the resume has taken place, they've only lost one basketball game. They need those two guys to come out and be aggressive scoring. And that's what LeBron was doing in particular in the first half. And then all of a sudden, when Rondo comes in, he can make an impact. And Kyle Kuzma can score double figures. But it's going to start with your superstars.
Absolutely. LeBron James wasn't just scoring. He had himself a block party. Everyone was talking about Kawhi Leonard blocking that dunk with his middle finger. Well, LeBron James said, well, he did that once. I'm going to block this shot. I'm going to block that shot. LeBron James was not just aggressive offensively. He was aggressive defensively, something that you don't see a lot of during the regular season, but it was great to see it here in the playoffs. And you also mentioned something else that I think was really key for the Lakers, not just in this game, but in this championship run, and that is the return of Rajon Rondo. Avery Bradley said, you know what? I'm not going to spend 3 months in Orlando. And Rajon Rondo had a hand injury. He came back, and he looked phenomenal. He was hitting three-point shots. Again, Rajon Rondo hitting three-point shots. He either scored or assisted on most of the Lakers' points in that critical fourth quarter where they moved forward. Can they rely on Rondo to play like playoff Rondo for the rest of his run?
If he's healthy, I believe so. And I'm glad you used that term playoff Rondo, because when that's said about players, sometimes it ain't necessarily good. And here's what I mean. It basically says in the regular season, you're one version, and then in the playoffs, you're another version. So for like a seven-time champion like Robert Horry, when he elevates his game and he knocks down shots in the playoffs, it now adds to his legend and he becomes Big Shot Bob. For a player like Rajon Rondo, it basically acknowledges that during the regular season, he's kind of an idol. And then when the playoffs come, he picks it up. And that's what we're seeing from him now that he's able to play his quality minutes, whether LeBron is in or out of the game. But you said the key, knocking down jump shots. If he's making his three-point shots, that unlocks everything he's trying to do offensively, and he's doing a great job defending the guards for Houston.
It is so good to see him as a key part of a championship contender after those years in Dallas and Sacramento and Chicago, those years where everyone forgot about Rondo, and now here he is back playing great on the big stage in the fourth quarter. But the other side of the ball, Russell Westbrook played well, Harden played well. What do the Rockets need to even up the series in game four?
Their depth is going to be key, because you want Russell and James to get 30-plus, and that happened. And then you continue to watch the game, and it's like, wait a minute, where's Austin Rivers? Where's Eric Gordon? Where's Tucker? And it's three-point shots from the corner. Daniel House, I'm still doing some research and investigating why you didn't play in the game. They needed you last night. And so when these guys aren't making shots, it makes their attack a lot different. That's why it looks ugly if and when they ever get eliminated, because it's a home run or strikeout style. And based on that, they weren't making their shots, and the Lakers got off to a terrific start led by LeBron James, and that was the key.
Absolutely. Now, Jalen, you and I have been doing this show for I don't even know how long, 9 years, and I've been in this business for 20 years, and you've been in this business for 100 years. And one thing I know is you're going to get some things right, you're going to get some things wrong. So it's absolutely foolish to celebrate when you make a prediction and it comes true. Well, guess what? I'm a fool, and I'm going to do it. Because here's what I said about the Bucks-Heat series in mid-July. Play the tape.
All of your right hate now, tweets
right
to
now.
If David
the
Jacoby
Heat and the Bucks match up in the second round, I am picking the Heat as underdogs.
Look at that, and look at what happened, and listen to the voice of Jalen Rose, who did not agree with me at the time. But now that you have seen the Heat put away the Bucks in the manner in which they did, one thing I want to make very clear: this was not a yo, Giannis got hurt, and that's why the Heat won the series. That's not what happened. The Heat dominated from the very beginning to the very end, losing one game in overtime. Now, Jalen, what did you see from the Heat that you liked and that you saw was the key to their success?
The Heat, to me, in a lot of ways, are built like an old school college basketball team, and I love it. When you talk about their identity, it's usually their effort and their toughness, and that's embodied by Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Udonis Haslam, who they're going to retire his number, Jay Crowder. And then they got a lot of white guys that can shoot. Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Kelly Olynyk. And these guys get three-point shots different than, for example, the Houston Rockets, who play pace and space, or even the Golden State Warriors. Because what they do is a lot of dribble handoff action to get those players shots. It's not just drive and kick like you see from so many teams. And that's why during the regular season, they were second in field goal percentage. And that's why they're very hard to defend, because they're one of the better teams whose top two players aren't heavily reliant on the three-point shot. The Lakers fall into that category. So do the Heat. You see post-ups for Jimmy. You see Bam cutting. You see live plays with Goran Dragic coming off and throwing it over the top. They're a team that runs offense inside the three-point line for their best players.
Absolutely. And much like the Rockets, when you watch the Rockets, it's four people standing around, one person driving, then finding an open shooter. Maybe they'll make it, maybe they won't. When you see that offense of the Heat, they run so many screens off the ball and so many dribble handoffs and so much motion and action that it's hard to keep up with them. And you know, you just mentioned that two of their best players, oh, I don't know, kind of look like me. And when I see them out there, I see myself out there. And of course, I'm talking about my man Tyler Hero and my guy Duncan Robinson. But I want to say this is Duncan Robinson, I'm waiting for you to step up in the next series, because it's not lost on me that they try to get you going early, but it hasn't really stuck thus far in this series.
You saw Kendrick Nunn sneak out there, huh?
Tyler Hero last night played fantastically. Now remember, he is in his rookie season, and in the fourth quarter of a closeout game in the playoffs, they put the ball in his hands to create. It's not always those pass open shots. He had a great assist to Andre Iguodala. Iguodala was shocked that he even found the ball in his hands and he dunked it. It's just so good to see Tyler Hero perform on this level, but I also want to see the same from Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson, I believe in you, Duncan Robinson. I know what's inside of you. I know that you had the third highest three-point percentage during the regular season. We're going to find you the ball and get it in the right spots for you. When you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you will see a lot more from Duncan Robinson.
So if they make it to the finals, can we get Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero and Olynyk picture up on your wall of fame?
No. No, we cannot. Moving on. Not just will we celebrate the Heat, but we have to talk about the Miami Bucks. For the second year in a row, they had the best record in the NBA, and for the second year in a row, they flamed out in the playoffs. And of course, I'm talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. Jalen, you're Giannis Antetokounmpo. You've got 1 year left on your deal. You're disappointed, not just that you got injured and couldn't help the team, but you're just disappointed in the way the team performed in Orlando. What's going through your head when they put a five-year extension in front of you this offseason?
See, Jacoby, and your prediction of Miami beating the Bucks was awesome. What I said in that clip was Miami is gonna win, but I want to see the Bucks win, because the question was, what are we going to be talking about from the bubble as the largest story? And the story was if Bucks get eliminated early. And unfortunately, that happened. So if they put the contract in front of me, I'm not signing it this summer or next summer, because it's not over $250 million. It's substantially $30 million less. So just financially, it does not make sense for him to sign this summer or next summer. You enter the last year of your deal. Now you hold the fire, the foot to the fire of the organization to bring in people to put around you. You sign like a one-in-one deal. So now you have three total years to play. The third year is his option. And now you give them a chance to continue to build. I see Giannis as a legacy type player with one franchise. When I see somebody injured and giving his teammates high fives the way he did, when I see somebody underneath the rim rebounding with a boot on because he can't play and still willing to risk it when his team is down 3-0, that's anchor commitment to the city, to the team. And so now you can build around that. He wants to be there. I believe he's going to be there. But now the team has to continue to build. So if he doesn't become the five-ring Kobe with the Lakers, hopefully he can still become the one-ring winner like Dirk with the Mavs. Still an all-time great. You're still a Hall of Famer. You didn't have to ring chase because I saw LeBron go to Miami. And I saw KD go to Golden State. And you know what they both did when they got championships? They left. They left. Mm-hmm. LeBron was like, you know what? I actually want to go back home and win one in Cleveland because it would mean more to me. KD was like, I'm leaving the Splash Brothers and Draymond Green to go to the Nets to play with Kyrie Irving to prove that I didn't ride their coattail. So while you see him happy holding those finals trophies, that's a sore topic for great players when it come up as it relates to leaving a team to quote-unquote ring chase. Because MVPs, other than those two guys and Moses Malone in the 80s, they don't leave that team, Jacoby, in their prime. They do not leave that team in their prime. I think Giannis is going to follow suit.
I think Giannis Antetokounmpo will look at the contract they'll give him this offseason and say, don't even talk to me about this. There's absolutely no reason for him to sign an extension this offseason when he's essentially going to get the exact same offer next offseason. So what that creates is an environment where the Milwaukee Bucks are auditioning all year to keep Giannis happy. What do you want me to do? You want me to get a new coach? You want to fire Coach Bud? We'll fire Coach Bud. Do you want me to try everything I can to bring in Chris Paul or another star player? We'll do that. Do you want me to bring in Kostas Antetokounmpo? Thanasis Antetokounmpo? He wants to draft Alexis Antetokounmpo? I'll even bring on your older brother that doesn't even play basketball, Francis Antetokounmpo. We'll have all the Antetokounmpos on the roster. What do you need? And I like the idea of him signing a short contract, because the second you sign for 5 years, you lose all of that leverage. And much like LeBron and AD did, sign a 1-1, sign a 2-1. Keep the leverage in your favor in the player empowerment era. Keep the pressure on the franchise to put the right pieces around you, because while a lot of people are kind of throwing dirt on Giannis's name and game today, one thing I will say is he is a top five player in the NBA. Maybe yes. He can't carry a team on his own the way that a KD, a Kawhi, or LeBron can, but with the right pieces around him, he is a championship contender every single year. Go ahead, Jim.
This is why this is a sore topic, because can we really say that LeBron and KD carried those teams to championships? That's what makes this a sore topic, because yes, KD joined the Warriors and led them to a championship. LeBron joined the Heat and led them to a championship. I would say Kawhi falls into the category of carrying the Raptors, because they had a glass ceiling. And with DeMar DeRozan as an all-star, and they couldn't get through it. He went played there one season and won the championship. That constituted carry, especially if they're going to get bounced this round without him.
Jalen, I really want to talk to you about this don't get fired topic.
And now, the don't get fired topic of the day.
It has been revealed on the No Jumpers podcast that Odell Beckham Jr. likes to... You know what? Just go to break. Please, we can't do this. I like my job.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Dos Equis, a most interesting beer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Don't forget, you can vote by mail. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Two huge games tonight on ESPN. First, we have Game 6 between the Raptors and the Celtics. The Raptors look to even the series, and then in the nightcap, Can the Denver Nuggets get a win in Game 4 to even the series against the Los Angeles Clippers? That's at 9 p.m. And Countdown is before all of that at 6 p.m. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we start with tonight's games and the Clippers against the Nuggets. What do you think the key is for the Nuggets to even the series tonight against the Clippers?
I believe the Clippers going to advance, and Kawhi's awesome. Reigning Finals MVP, Paul George has found his game. Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell have shown flashes. But for the Denver Nuggets, it has to be the Joker. Jamal Murray made a name for himself last series. He and Donovan Mitchell put on a show going back and forth, dazzling us with 360s in the air and game-winning type plays. He hasn't been effective and efficient this series. But you know who has the Joker? Constantly performing like an all-NBA guy, making threes, making perimeter shots, grabbing boards, dropping dimes. Michael Porter Jr. scored in the previous game. That gentleman, my favorite stretch mark five, is going to need some help.
Hopefully they will get some help, because if you look at Jamal Murray's production in that series against the Jazz and this series against the Clippers, there's a pretty stark difference there, because Jamal Murray had a star turn in the first round. And I sort of think that Kawhi Leonard blocking his dunk is emblematic of what's been happening in this series. He's trying to make a highlight, trying to be excellent, but it's just not panning out for Jamal Murray. Hopefully he can tonight, and the Nuggets can extend this series to a pivotal fifth game. But we have another huge game in the Eastern Conference, where the Raptors, up against elimination tonight in a game six, will try to beat the Celtics. What do you think the key is for the Raptors?
This is simple for me. For a lot of people, it's going to be first-time All-Star Pascal Siakam. No, it's not. It's their backcourt. Kyle Lowry is the heartbeat of that team. And Fred VanVleet, by the way, is going to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason. Those two guys have to be the difference makers. VanVleet with his shot making, Kyle Lowry with his emotion, his ability to take charges and sacrifice his body and energize his team. Those extra possessions, those type of plays is what they're going to need, unless they're going to get eliminated by the Boston Celtics.
Jalen, it's going to have to be Lowry and VanVleet, because I'm going to go negative Jacoby here for a second. Pascal Siakam has been somewhat exposed by Brad Stevens and these Celtics defenders. When you watch what Siakam did in the regular season in the transition and in the post and hitting threes, he's doing none of that in this series, because they're throwing so many people at him, and they're sort of stopping the transition baskets from him, and they're playing such good defense on him with Brown and especially Tatum, that I don't think that they really have a chance to win two in a row against these Celtics. They're going to need more than just VanVleet and Lowry. They're going to need Pascal Siakam, and he has not been there thus far in this series. We also have some other news in the NBA, Jalen. Billy Donovan, after a great season with the Oklahoma City Thunder, did they beat all the expectations of everybody? You would think the coach would get an extension, would get a raise. Nope. He is now out as the head coach of the Thunder. What do you think that means for the Thunder and for other teams looking for a head coach?
So if I was doing a fantasy draft of all of the coaches in the NBA, my pick would be Eric Spoelstra, because he's shown me that he can coach different styles of teams, whether it's Hall of Famers like their Big Three or Kendrick Nunn, who was an undrafted rookie. And I know people have thrown a lot of dirt on Billy Donovan's name based on what has happened or not happened the last 5 years in OKC. He's shown me that he did a really good job with that team. I've seen him coach KD, Russ, Oladipo, Paul George. This team that overachieved with Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Schrader. I remember he was in Atlanta, now found a home with OKC. So based on that, Jacoby, when you make a decision to go away from the Thunder, that means that they told you that they want to rebuild with the picks. And he like, I'm not going to be able to do it. There are other openings in the game. I would not be surprised if he moves to ahead of a lot of those people's lists and gets a job immediately.
I think he'll enjoy coaching the Sixers in Philadelphia. It is now time for Jalen of the Week. Today is a good day for Jalen's. Not only do you have a fresh cut, but Jalen Ramsey has signed a $105 million extension. Unheard of for someone that plays his position. $71 million guaranteed in the signing bonus just for putting ink to paper. What do you think this means for Ramsey and the Rams?
This is historic. This is a groundbreaking moment for society. Shout out to my mother, Jeannie Rose. I love you very much. This is the largest contract ever given to someone named Jalen in the history of the world. How about that? And Ramsey deserves it. Playing alongside Aaron Donald. I know that they didn't meet their goals last year, but he's proven to be that dude deserving that deal. Well earned.
Stay tuned. We have much more on Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, every day we will highlight a message on the back of NBA jerseys. It is time for Message of the Movement. Today's message of the movement on the back of NBA jerseys is vote. What is the significance of that to you?
Extreme significance, especially during this climate of unrest, COVID-19. Millions of people losing their jobs, being furloughed, being laid off, trying to figure how they're going to pay their rent. It's really important to exercise your right in democracy and vote. It is bigger than just a vote. It's a lifestyle.
Absolutely. Everyone asks what they can do. One thing they can do to concretely affect change is vote this November. Jalen, everyone knows Chuck D as a musical artist. But you know Chuck D is a different type of artist. Please explain.
Well, he embodies the culture. He's a legend and a vet. And there was a saying that once said, youth is wasted on the young. And I never would have thought growing up the way I idolized Public Enemy and loved Chuck D's bars and verses and his knowledge that he was a major fan of my biological father, Jimmy Walker. And he was also an artist that drew pictures of him and was gracious enough to send it to me. His first picture that he did when he turned 60. Remember, hip-hop is more than just rapping into a microphone. It's also art and graffiti. And for the Uncle Chuck D to take the time and the energy to do something like this to symbolize my biological father and my career, I'm forever grateful. Thank you, Uncle. Appreciate you.
Tomorrow, we are back on ESPN at 2 p.m. Make sure you tune in. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is doing podcast-exclusive content. And today is a great day for that because, Jalen, I want to talk about this Odell Beckham Jr. thing. Because you know the ESPN executives, they're not listening to the podcast. I know they're not listening
Cleveland,
to the podcast.
This is
and
for you.
And we can't do it on the show. We can't do it on the TV show because it's just that's just irresponsible. But we can be real irresponsible on the podcast. So on the No Jumpers podcast, the very podcast where we once learned that someone spent some quality time in a hotel room with some of the Phoenix Suns, we learned there's a young woman there. Well, I believe has a child with Chief Keef, and she explained some requests that Odell Beckham Jr. may or may not have made to her. This is just what she said. She said that Odell Beckham Jr., before a rendezvous with her, told her not to shower for 24 hours. Also told her to take a video of herself on the toilet defecating, and then requested to be defecated upon when she arrived at her destination. Now, Jalen, I can't say enough times. We have no idea if this is true or not. We're not saying that this happened. But what we are saying is that she said it into a microphone on this podcast and we listened to it. When you saw that video, what was your first takeaway?
I have a lot to say with this answer. I first got exposed to this level of conversation and behavior around 7 or 8 years old when there was a video out of Jane Kennedy and then at the time of her husband, I think his name was Leon, doing sexual acts in the bed. And then one of them took a number two in the bed. That was the first time when I was young, I think I got exposed to that. I'm almost sure that that was the story. And then you graduate and then I'm listening to one of my favorite artists, album. Notorious B.I.G., he talks about that was it in the up. Record. And yep. Then so I'm real. And then it made me realize that while not being a virgin, there are just certain things that I haven't even considered in life in no way, mm-hmm. shape, or form. And so when I heard like how vivid, no, I ain't gonna like that.
How do you know you don't like it? You haven't tried it.
No, I know I don't like it. No, I don't.
You never tried it. You never tried it. Like, how do you know you don't like it?
I'll tell you, I'll tell you one reason why.
Maybe that is your
because
thing,
it's nasty. Rose. Because it's nasty. Because poop is nasty. Poop is a nasty thing. It's not something I want on my skin. It's not something I want in my mouth. And I don't want it on my hands.
How do you know?
What happens when, here's how I know. Because there have been times where I've wiped my backside and I poke through the tissue. And I got some brown residue on my hand. And you know what? I didn't like it.
I'm watching for longer than the 20 seconds. I'm watching for way longer than 20 seconds.
I didn't like it. Okay? Poke. If you realize how much you don't like it, poke a hole in the toilet paper when you're wiping your butt. You realize that you really don't like that. So I know when I was like 2 years old, I don't like poop. I don't like my own poop. I don't want nobody else's poop. I'm not going to be able to do it. And so for Odell Beckham, here's what I'll say. As public figures and celebrities, you know, we do have to be careful about people making reckless claims about us that may or may not be true. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make sure I acknowledge that. The one thing I would like to see, and everybody can't respond to each thing that's said about them because that's just overwhelming for human beings, but there are certain stuff, especially with this level of detail, if it were me, I would have to defend my honor if this did not happen. And so the first person I heard that took pride in somebody not taking a shower 24 hours was David Jacoby. That was the first. So that was the okay, first. I was like, me. Whoa. Okay. I heard that. And then the second part is, certain things it seemed like are levels of detail that would be hard to fabricate. You know what I'm saying? Certain things are hard to fabricate, like somebody telling you to send a video of yourself using the bathroom. And she was talking about, of course, she tried to make it look sexy as possible.
I like that. Shout out to her. She's like, what do you want? All right, I'll make it cute. I can make anything
cute.
How about this anticipation?
Something that Peyton Manning, Tom Brady could never say. They've had the anticipation of going to bed the night before, anticipating big games, Super Bowls, Super Bowls. That was hers. She was like, he wants me to do what? And he's going to fly me there to do it? Oh, man, I bet she could have walked there, really. I mean, she could have flew there.
According to her, he kind of sprung the request upon her in the moment, and she had a little trouble conjuring up the product. You know what I mean?
Which would happen to me too.
Yeah. It would be, you know, I'm like, hold
on. You don't have to go.
Yeah. But I'll say this is, I can't believe I'm going this route, but like, if you really want to think about it in a Freudian terms, because I studied a lot of Freud when I was in college, I like that guy, is like, there's actual like psychological, psychotherapeutic explanations for how someone could manage to end up with this kind of a kink. And one thing I want to say is, whatever you do consensually in the bedroom in your own private time, good for you. Whatever makes you two happy. If y'all two are happy, I don't care what you're doing in there. If it doesn't hurt anybody or any animals or anything, do whatever makes you happy. If it's mutually consensual and you're both having a good time, then God bless you guys. And again, I can't say enough times, we have no idea if this is true or not. This could just be some lady who's never met Odell Beckham Jr. in her whole entire life, never even texted with him, never sent him a DM, and she's just on this podcast saying this. That could be the case.
Well, all I know is this. Football season starts this week. And Odell Beckham has now given new meaning of what it's like to be committed to the Browns.
He is. He's Brown for life. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe this is part of his training camp regimen. This is how he gets ready for the season.
Now we know where he's going to retire.
When he was a Giant, he's like, put up a personal pit ad. He's like, looking for women over 6'8", over 400 pounds. He's dedicated to the Browns
this year. Like you said,
he's dedicated to the Browns.
We don't care. We're not here to judge. We're not mad at it.
Whether he was,
we're just acknowledging that it's not something that we want to do and have not
done.
How
do you know? How do you know? How do you know you don't want that to happen to you, Jalen? How do you know?
Well, you continue to ask me that question like you're going to get a different answer. I learned when I was 2 years old, when somebody was changing my diaper, that I didn't like doo-doo on my skin or on my hands.
For me, I don't judge anyone else's kink. You know what I mean? God bless everybody that makes them happy in a consensual situation. But I'll say this is, I know I don't want that to happen because I just feel like there's so many other things we could be up to. You know what I mean? There's so many other things we could be doing. It's the opportunity cost. It's like, do I know I don't like that? No, I've never had defecation involved in my romantic experiences. But I'm fine to live my whole entire life without that. But I will say that there's just a lot of other things that we could be up to. We could do it. We could focus our energy in other ways that I would find more enjoyable than that.
I agree with you because I don't recall ever walking down the street before people had to walk their dogs and carry a bag. I don't recall seeing people walking down the street just randomly picking up doo-doo.
Picking up, smearing all over
themselves.
They were
excited about seeing it and then smearing it on them. I don't recall that ever taking place.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that at all.
So that is not something that we may need to go to a caller.
Yeah, we might need to go to college. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, first and foremost, shout out to you guys. You guys have been killing it during the Rona season. Much appreciated. This is RJ from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I have a cultural or regional for you. Me and my friend been arguing over this for 2 years. We both look like Jalen, okay? And we've been arguing, do soul food mac and cheese have breadcrumbs on it? I mean, the kind that grandma used to make Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, you know what I mean? I say they do. My boy says, I only do soul food mac and cheese, do not come with breadcrumbs. He says that none of us that look like that have breadcrumbs on the mac and cheese. We need you guys to solve it. So please solve this for us. Thank you guys. You're giving the people what they want.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate the love and the continued support. I'll chime in here first. This is definitely regional. My grandfather, Paramore Hicks Sr., and a lot of his family originated in Bainbridge, Georgia. That's probably like 8 or 9 hours away from Atlanta. And when I was young, we used to go down there for family reunions and stuff to visit each summer, him and my Aunt Grace and my family in Georgia. And I used to get exposed to things that they were doing in the South that we weren't doing in the Midwest. And so certain dishes apply. Like certain families that have greens with actual ham hocks. And then some may have greens with turkey. Or you may see people having the mac and cheese with the breadcrumbs and the extra cheese. It seems more of a Southern thing than a Midwestern thing. So I would be curious to know if both of these gentlemen are currently and or from the same region. I know that they're friends, but since they disagree, I wonder if they're both in Ohio. So
in Ohio
that's not something that Midwesterners normally do. And that's like chitlins. It's like chitlins. It's one of those things that you don't realize that people are eating pig intestines, and then you go to the South and then you walk into the kitchen and you smell them and you're like, what is that? And then I'm the one person in the family. Like, I'm good. I'll starve. That's what I'll
Odell
do. I'll starve.
Odell loves good. Some chitlins. Odell Beckham loves some chitlins.
Donnie.
He's gonna volunteer to clean him out.
He's
gonna volunteer to clean him out. So I'll say this is as a Caucasian American from Massachusetts, you'll never believe this, but mac and cheese was not a huge part of the rotation growing up. If it was, it came from a box. But married into a Jamaican family, and my wife makes the greatest mac and cheese on the planet. And I will say that in my extensive mac and cheese research, something that I love, breadcrumbs are PEDs for mac and cheese. Because what you try to accomplish with mac and cheese is something that I love about food, which is crunch and mush. I am going to start a franchise of restaurants where it's not Italian food, Mexican food, Indian food, Mediterranean food. It is just food that has crunch aspect and a mush aspect. And you really want that with your mac and cheese. You want a crunchy, crispy top. that you have to kind of crack into to get to that gooey, melty middle. So you get some crunch from the top and mush from the bottom. And breadcrumbs is a way to accomplish this, but it's cheating. That's performance-enhancing drugs for mac and cheese. You can get a nice crunch and mush on your mac and cheese without using breadcrumbs, which I would suggest. You can just get the right kind of cheese on top, the right temperatures, the right baking methods to accomplish the crunch and mush on your mac and cheese without the breadcrumbs. I'm going to say regional, but not my preferred mac and cheese. I would prefer mac and cheese without it that still has the crunch and the mush. Thank you so much for the call, RJ. We got time for another caller. What do you got?
Yo, Jalen and Jacoby. It's your boy, the big dog from St. Mary's, Ontario, Canada. I got a barbershop question for you. Where I'm from, we had one barbershop, two barbers. The barbers broke up. Now there's two barbershops, and I don't know which barber to go to. The original barbershop has the original owner, who's the barber. He likes my favorite sports team, Buffalo Bills, but his quality's not as good as the other guy. The other guy opened his own shop. He's a good barber, but he's slow as hell. I don't know what to do. I need your help.
Wow.
Let me start with this. This is great.
Like,
so this to me is more controversial than KD leaving the Warriors.
This could tear apart the community.
Imagine, you go to Golden State, they win 73 games, you elevate them to the point where they win two championships back-to-back, and you win finals MVP, and you leave. Okay, this is only the KD theory right here. You have to be loyal to your barber. You have to be loyal to your barber, because here's what's going to happen. No, you're going to have birthdays, and you're going to have holidays, and you're going to have special events. And you're going to text your barber. And you know what's going to happen? You now become a part of a priority list because you're not a consistent client. You think you just going to show up at 3 o'clock like David Jacoby and sit in anybody's chair? Or you think you're going to go back and forth between the two barbers? No, it don't work like that. You don't get two wives in America. No, you got to pick. Barbers are essential. They don't deserve to be cheated on. They deserve to be tipped more and more and more. What are your thoughts, Jacob?
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened, right? There's two barbers in this one shop. Let's say Steve owns the shop and Gary is the other barber. Gary's been working with Steve for a long time. But Gary started doing the math. He's like, look, a lot of people are coming in for me to give them a haircut. And basically, you're taking 75% of the money and I get 25% and I'm doing 50% of the work. So, you know, Steve was looking at this and he looked at Gary and one day he said, hey, Gary, man, why don't we go 50-50 on this? Because I'm kind of bringing in half the money and I feel like we could be 50-50 partners on this. And that's when Steve was like, Gary, that's not how it works. I pay the rent here. I started the business. I took it out of the insurance. Like, this is all, you know, this is my business. And then Gary went home to his wife. He said, you know what? I'm sick of being the second banana to Steve. Gary said, I'm opening up my own shop. I'm going out on my own. I'm going to rent a place across the street from Steve. We're going to go head to head and see what really happens. And you know what? Two things. Number one, this is what I'm at odds with. I'm never going to go with the slower barber. My time is too important for that. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to sit around and talk about LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I want to get in and out. So that means that Gary is the slower barber in the better barber. So I'm going to go with Steve on that one. However, I support the guy who's working under Steve for a long time and said, I'm going to come out on my own. I support that entrepreneurship. I support business. The guy who says, I'm going to bet on myself.
I do too.
That's who I support.
I agree.
So even though it's going to take longer, it's going to be a better haircut. You go with the better haircut. You go with the guy who bet on himself and went out and started his own company and didn't want to be under Steve's thumb anymore. But I totally understand if this tears apart the community of St. Mary's, Ontario, Canada. If you hear-
You go with the best haircut. Go with the best haircut. Do not listen to David Jacoby.
No, I told him to go with the best cut.
I have three different barbers, and every cut is different. So if you haven't seen the person in, like, at least a week, that's almost new grass that they got to mow. Versus if you've seen them the last 24 to 48 hours, it won't take as long.
So therefore,
usually if you haven't seen them in a week, it ain't going to take longer than an hour. I don't care who the barber is. Which means sometimes it might take 35, 40 minutes. Sometimes it might take 40 to 50 minutes. But it's going to be between 40 minutes and an hour. That's how long your haircut is going to take. If you can't wait an extra 20 minutes to get the best cut, then you need to work on your time management.
If I'm in a chair over 25 minutes, I'm just going to get up and leave and give myself a warm-up. I got to be in and out of there 15 minutes. I have no interest in hanging out in the barbershop for an hour. That's ridiculous. Jalen, we look forward to seeing you in your suit and your hair on Countdown this evening. We're returning to ESPN at 2 o'clock. Our official time slot, we're returning there tomorrow at 2 p.m. Make sure you tune in. And always subscribe and download and rate and review the podcast. That's where you find the exclusive content. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. You got to give the people.